Whose report have you believed? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to believe what this book right here says. I'm not going to listen to any doubt. I'm not going to listen to any unbelief, but I'm going to stand on this word.
Hallelujah. Get ready for miracles. You know, Greg mentioned that verse, and Juan and I were talking about that coming down the road this morning. You guys probably said, well, you guys talk about every verse. We talk about a lot of verses. We do. And I challenge you, as husband and wife and mothers and children and fathers and children in your homes to discuss the word of the Lord and the things that God is doing. Let that be your conversation. Listen, God is drawing people apart from things that bind and vices and, you know, things that, you know, oftentimes, I mean, it can be some big things in your life. But oftentimes it can be just the little things too. You know, the scripture says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. So that gives implication that, you know, there are things in our lives, that might not necessarily be sins, but they're weights. And they are keeping us from fully walking in the plan of God for our lives. God's drawing, man. I don't miss this. It really has. It's not part of the word. It's just God is depositing some things into my spirit and speaking to me, and I'm going to convey that to you. So listen. So if you're wondering, and this really does tie into the word when I bring it to in this form. If you're wondering if the voice that you may be hearing that's saying, you know, that's something you need to cut off. That's a pruning in your life. That's an area you need to cut off. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Amen. Because it's going to make the difference in your life. And I know this is in my notes, and when individual destinies are set, individual destinies affect corporate destinies. Oh, y'all got to get that word I just spoke to you. Individual destinies affect corporate destinies, and they bring corporate destinies into fruition or fulfillment. You are a part of the plan of God. Amen. You're not here by accident. And I'm so excited to see what God is doing. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you ready to receive the word? Thank you, Lord. The first part of the Ask Daniel, just to stay here with me just for a moment anyway. The first part of the word, you know, I told you guys that God has just been speaking some things, and sometimes when I'm doing my notes, I'm thinking, Lord, that in itself is just a prophetic word to be spoken to the people. So the first part, Jacob, just throw up. This is not actually our text, but I've got to give it to you. And put Daniel 2 up there in 20, verse 20. I want you to see something here. And I'm going to share with you what I feel the Lord has put in my spirit, which is prophetic for this region. How many of you, God wants to send revival to the mountains of southeastern Kentucky? Kentucky is a first fruit forerunner for revival. It's been spoken. Amen. It's been spoken all the way from other countries. Yes. You guys know, I mean, he's heard of Pastor Cho. largest, at one time, I don't know if it still is, largest church, largest congregation in the world. And, you know, he spoke and prophesied the revival in Brownsville. And they said that, later, you know, he was praying and asked God, where's the next great big revival going to be? And I'm calling it an awakening, the third awakening. And God showed him it's going to be right here in this area in southeastern Kentucky, right where the three states meet. Kentucky, Virginia, and Tennessee. People are going to run to these hills. God's in control. God's in control. Don't let, and I'm way ahead of myself again. This is not, this is in my notes, but don't let CNN define who you are. Don't let Fox News define who you are. God's word is true. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to pour out his spirit. I say he's going to pour out his spirit. People are going to run. See, God's got to get people ready for revival. Everything's working just right into play. It's playing right into what God wants to do. Amen. Look at these verses. Daniel answered and said, now this, just to set this up, this is when the king had a dream and no one could interpret his dream and God spoke to Daniel. There's a word there. God will speak to those that are listening. Amen. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Look here. And he, everybody say he. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Amen. He sets the times and the seasons. God is in control. And he is moving us from a chronos time to a kairos time. What is that, Pastor? A chronos time is just time in general. Time is flowing. It's passing. But a kairos time is an appointed time. And we are so close to an appointed time. He has an appointed time. Amen. He waited to the right time to go back to Lazarus. It was a time he could have went and healed him, but it was a time when he got the most glory. When everything's set in place, he got Gideon down to 300. I'm telling you, when everything is set in its proper place, God's gonna show up and everything's gonna change. You're not gonna be worried about what you gotta do tomorrow. You're not gonna be worried about what you did yesterday. Your main focus, there's gonna be an awareness of God that's gonna settle in this area and people are gonna flock to the house of God. There's not gonna be enough churches to hold the people. We're building a bigger sanctuary, but I'm just gonna tell you right now, it's not gonna hold the people. I said, God has shown me people standing out in the parking lot, trying to get in. I'm talking about to the point of where when they brought the paralyzed man, they had to tear off the roof to drop him down, to get him down. I got to get my loved ones in there where the presence of God is moving. I'm telling you, when God performs the miracle that he's getting ready to perform, people are going to say, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to be healed? What do I have to do to be delivered? They're going to see this thing. It's going to be a demonstration of power. Amen? Does anybody feel that? Here's a word I feel like I want to share with you that the Lord has given me. We're coming into an opportune time for advancing the kingdom of God. But we must learn to recognize and properly respond to the divine shifts in our own lives. Moments when God changes the times and seasons. As David in the field, waiting to become a king. As Moses in the desert, waiting to become a deliverer. And Daniel in the place of prayer, when he prayed for 21 days, God has been preparing deliverers and reformers to take advantage of the strategic opportunities that will soon become available. Don't give up. Don't give up. Your shift may be closer than you think. It's easy to get ahead of God when it's not a season for Him to do something through you, but rather to do something to you. There's a time when He's doing something to you, but He's getting ready to do something through you. We can also miss some opportunities along the way because we did not adequately prepare for or make the right shift at the right time. But I think these verses speak to us as where we are as a church at this time and this hour. The Lord says, I am shifting things in the Spirit over this region. Oh, come on, church. Somebody's gotta come into agreement and receive what I'm speaking to you this morning. The prayers of God's people are making a difference. We are moving into an opportune time for great advances, revival, and the third great awakening. We're in a moment when God is changing the times and seasons from Chronos, general time, to Kairos, strategic or appointed times. It's been a long season of waiting, like Abraham waiting for Isaac, or like David waiting for the throne. Stay the course. Don't abort. Stay the course. Don't abort. You guys realize that I think I have it written down here. I got to share this with you. There was a man who had syphilis and his wife had tuberculosis. They had four children. The first was blind, the second was dead, and the third is deaf, and the fourth had TB. The mother finds that she's pregnant again. Given this extreme situation, how many would abort? You just aborted Beethoven. He was the fifth. He was the fifth. So the word is don't, and the Lord gave me that word a long time ago when I would stand here in this pulpit and say these pews will be filled. And I was at the point of ready to give up and quit. And I walked into my office and Sister Penny Smith had laid a thing on my desk and said, don't abort. So I'm conveying this. Your season is close. Your appointed time is close. There's an appointed time, Greg, to reap. Be faithful. We're going to reap in due season. I said, be faithful. Never give up. Never give up. God's getting ready to do something great. How many believe that's a word from the Lord? Can you give God praise? Can you give Him a hand this morning? I'm going to say it again. Personal destiny is connected to corporate destiny. Amen? Now, if we believe that's coming, here's the word for us today. Man, oh man. Jacob, track with me here. I want to show you some verses here. Go Ephesians 4. Thank you, Daniel. You can go down, brother, whenever you want. I appreciate you so much. Ephesians 4. This is finishing up our teaching from Wednesday night, and this leads right into what God wants to speak to us today. I've been talking about unity on Wednesday nights. Look here what it says. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Keep going, Jacob. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making the increase of the body into edifying itself. Not carried about with every wind of doctrine. Amen. How many knows when we speak, there's wind? Amen. Now, Jacob, won't you do James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth, come on now, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. You got to ask yourself, am I double-minded? I think that's the last one in that one there. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what I want to talk to you about is, you know, who or what are you listening to? Where is your mind? And I've taught, when I taught on spirit, soul, and body for all those weeks, I told you that the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions, the soul affects which direction you go in. It affects where you go toward the, you know, the Bible says that, the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And the spirit is telling you this, and the flesh is telling you this, the body is telling you this. Right in the center of those is the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. And that's why it's so important when the scripture says, to renew our minds. And that's the way we renew our minds is in the reading of the word. Y'all got to help your pastor preach this morning. I'm going to share a word with you. The enemy don't want me to share this, but I'm telling you, it's going to change. If you'll listen to me, it's going to change you. It's going, you know, listen, there's a divine shift that's taking place in this. And what I'm going to tell you right now is going to determine whether or not you move into that divine shift, or whether or not you allow the enemy to keep you where you are, to keep you stranded where you are, or for you to be able to advance. Oh man, I tell you, James, I feel it, something stirring in my spirit. It's time to advance. It's time to go to the next level. It's time to go from glory to glory. It's time to get off the milk and get on the meat. Amen. It's time to push things aside that have hindered us for so long and go after God in His Word, to get in His Word, to get in prayer, to get on our knees, to do some fasting, to seek the face of God and say, God, I know You're up to something, and I want to get in line with You, and I want to be a part of that. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. So, you know, I feel like that we're right on the verge. Right on the brink, if you will. So that's the very reason we're right on the threshold. Right to the point. How many's ever seen something? You put it up, you take a set of scales. Remember the old scales, and you know, you could put weight on one side or the other. I feel like, you know, we're right there, and we're just ready. If we put one more thing on that scale, it's gonna tilt. It's gonna tilt toward the river. We're right on the brink of the river. We're right on the edge of the river. And that's why the enemy's fighting you so hard. Some of y'all have felt the enemy fighting you so hard, and it's hard for you just to get to church. That's why the enemy, we know something's getting ready to happen. We can feel it, but we just don't know what. But, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit's up to, Curtis, it's going to be good. I said, whatever He's up to, it's going to be good. You know, and take this any way you want, but the Lord, you know, there was a word of prophecy given to me several years ago. And in that prophecy, y'all have heard me say it before, that the Lord said, I'm giving you a spirit of proclamation. You're going to operate in the gift of the spirit of proclamation. And I feel that that's really getting to come to fruition. I feel I've operated in that before, but I feel like God is saying it's really ready. You're going to start proclaiming things. And when you proclaim things, they're going to come to pass and they're going to happen. Amen. God is moving us into that arena. Amen. To where we can speak. We have the power to speak those things that are not as though they were. Amen. We can speak. We have creative power, just like God spoke and things happened. And we're created in His image. Amen. I'm getting that look. You know what that means? It means slow down. Wanda's giving me that look. I got to slow down. But I'm excited. Jacob put Luke chapter 1. This is our main text. Luke chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Luke chapter 1. Look what it says here. Verse 5. Jacob, you're doing so good. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. They both were well-stricken years. It seems impossible, right? She's barren. It's like Abraham and Sarah. She's barren. And they're both, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, it was his turn as the high priest. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. It was his rotation, if you will. And the whole multitude were praying without at the time of incense. Keep going, Jake. Keep going. Did I give you the next one? I'm sorry. You guys, are you guys there? Okay. Just a minute. I'll get there. They're appealing to him, an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Wow. He's in there. He's in there. And we know sometimes we get in the presence of the Lord and God speaks things to us. If we're not careful, we'll miss it. He's in there. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. Fear fell upon him. This is the real deal, man. This ain't usual church. This ain't church in general. This ain't socialism. This ain't legalism. This is not religion. This is a real deal. This is not a form of godliness. This is a power thereof. But go back up just a second. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Keep going. But the angel said unto him, don't fear, fear not, for thy prayer is heard. Thy prayer is heard, and your wife's going to bear thee a son. You're going to call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled from the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. What a word. Keep going. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This was talking about a forerunner. Isaiah had prophesied in chapter 40, there's going to be a forerunner to Christ. He will prepare the way. Now here comes, all these years later, here comes the angel Gabriel and is giving this word to Zacharias and say, this is Isaiah 40 being fulfilled. And he's telling him what's going to happen. It's what he will do. And Zacharias, but look what happens. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? You know what you can do? You can scratch that out right there and write how. How? Amen? For I am an old man and my wife, well, stricken in years. You see, folks, here's the problem. Oftentimes, when God says he's going to do something, we want to question God and say, how? How are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter how he does it. Just as long as he does it. I said, just as long as he shows up. It don't matter who he shows up through. Amen. It don't have to be through me. I know God's going to speak things through me, but I'm going to tell you something. God may show up in a way that you don't expect God to show up. He says, how? He's standing there in Randy with the incense, and the angel Gabriel shows up and gives him this word, and he says, how? Amen. And now look what happened. You know, he said, how? Keep going. And the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Amen. And I am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. So the angel in a way kind of rebukes him and says, I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God and I've been sent here to give you these glad tidings. And he goes on to say, look what happens. You're going to be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things are performed because you didn't believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. I'm going to tell you something. You know what happened? The Holy Spirit said, I'm going to shut your mouth up right there, and you're not going to be able to say anything else until you understand that I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I'm just going to try to be nice here. But you know what? Some people need to let the Holy Spirit close your mouth because you're speaking things that don't need to be spoken. You're speaking negative things over your family. You're speaking negative things over your children, over your nation, over the economy, over this region. I'm telling you, I know we're living in some difficult times, but I'm still standing on the Word of God, and His Word says that we will be blessed. We are the head and not the tail, that we're going to be blessed on the right, blessed on... His Word trumps everything. I said His Word trumps everything. Oh, hallelujah. How'd the angel know he didn't believe? Because he said, how? You know, when the angel spoke to Mary, Mary said, be it according to your word. Be it, and when God speaks something to us, just don't try to question God and say how. You know, you guys know we're praying for our son, and we're standing in agreement, and And we had another person come to us this week and had a dream that he was healed, and he was giving his testimony and telling people what it was like before and what it's like now. You know, they tell us there's no hope. You know, that we don't have, you know, we don't have any answers. You just got to live with this. So they've been telling us that since he was a small child. He's going to have to live with it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We got a lot of traveling to do, and we got a lot of touring to do when God manifests that healing in our son. Amen. And we're going to say, hey, we didn't give him no, we don't know how it happened. It don't matter, but he's different. He's changed. He's set free. And people are going to run to the house of God through that. Come on, I'm declaring it. I'm proclaiming it right now in the name of Jesus. It's going to happen. God, I'm not asking you how. I'm just believing that you're going to do it. I'm just believing that you're going to do it. I don't care how. He was the high priest. He was the man of God. We don't need to know how. We just need to know it's the word of the Lord. We don't have to understand how. The words you speak out, listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Now, there's times I told you, when I've been preparing my message the last few weeks, there's times that I just feel the Spirit of the Lord, just everything I write, and there's times I just stop, and I got to read it to you word for word. The words you speak out of your mouth can delay the plan of God on your life or your destiny. Amen? You know, again, the Holy Spirit knew he had to shut up Zechariah's mouth, or he was going to mess everything up. Amen? God had to get him ready for a new season of breakthrough. It was a preparation time. You know, and if you can't say anything good, don't say anything. Amen? Because your words have power, and they're out there in the air. Satan is the prince and power of the air. And what we speak out there either reinforces or tears down his kingdom. Amen? All right, let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand. Are you a negative type person? Negative. You know, have you been that way throughout your life? You know, and when you're like that, if you've been that way, it's hard to bring what we say into a new season of what God is doing if you have a negative spirit. Listen, I have this underlined. Zechariah had to be changed from a negative speech to a creative speech. His speech had to be changed from negative to creative. Until he became, don't miss this. Until he became worthy to speak what God was birthing, he was not permitted to speak. Oh. Until he became worthy to speak what God was birthing, he was not permitted to speak. And I'm telling you, you better watch what comes out of your mouth. I speak blessings over this region. I speak blessings over our children. I speak blessings, as we did earlier, over our schools and our leaders. Amen. I pray for our leaders from the president all the way down. Listen, God's in control. He changes the season. He sets kings in. He takes them out. God's going to show up, and everybody's going to say, wow, this word really was true. Amen. But we're plagued with, I don't understand. Amen. We're stuck in old realities. You know, it's hard to say away with the old and bring in the new. Oh, come on, y'all got to help your pastor now. This is tough. This is where we are. It's hard to say away with the old and bring in the new. It's hard for people sometimes to say, I don't want to be stuck in tradition. You know, we took this house down over here. Jason took this house down this week. You know, and that house there, and we know that house had a lot of memories, you know, to a family, and many, I don't know how many families live there. It was home. It was familiar. Amen. But in order for the new to come, that old house had to be wrecked. It had to be taken down. And so the Lord is speaking a word to us and saying, in order for the new to come in your life, there's going to have to be some old things that need to be wrecked. Some familiar things. Familiarity breeds contempt. You get settled and things get familiar. You're around, you know, we don't like our little thing, our little world to be messed up, our little routines, you know. We like things cookie cutter predictable. And the Lord says, just let go and let me be what I want to do. Cause I'm going to bring some stuff. I'm ready to bring some stuff in you've never seen before. I'm ready to bring in some new things that you've never experienced before. I want to show the world who I am again. Amen. Somebody say, wreck me, Lord. Oh, look out. If you pray that prayer and mean it. Amen. Somebody, now let's say who wants to say it. Somebody say, wreck me, Lord. All right. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. All the way back. I love going back to Genesis because I think it was God's original plan. Let's go back to how wonderful it was. Adam and Eve were created by God. And they were in the garden. He was their father. He would speak and Adam would absorb what he spoke and rejoice. And Adam would respond. It was awesome. Look at Genesis 1:26. I should have those in order, Jacob. Just get them ready. Have the next one ready. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. And every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. Everybody say dominion. Over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. All right? God's original plan. Original creative state. Amen. Now, that's all God told them to do. Five things, and then He also told them not to eat of the tree. You know, the tree of good and evil is where they would know the difference. He told them there. That's all He spoke to them. Right now, and that's all they had to do, Karen. That's all they had to do. But now go to chapter 3 and verse 1, Jacob. This is going to be the meat and potatoes of this message. What we have here is the second voice comes into the picture. And that voice came straight from hell. You have to know what you're hearing. Is this from God? A second mind, if you will, comes into play. Look what it says here. Here's that second voice. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? You know what Satan said right there? Are you sure? Don't miss what I'm telling you. Are you sure? He raised doubt. God speaks in authority and commands. Satan speaks in questions. Some people have become so accustomed to two different voices that we know the voice of God, but we're also so used to the voice of Satan. It comes to question the authority of what God is speaking. It causes us to question what God has spoken. It's the second voice. Are you sure? Are you sure God's going to heal your son? Are you sure God's going to send revival to this region? Are you sure? Are you sure that Kyla's going to be completely healed in the name of Jesus? Are you sure? Are you sure drug addicts are going to be delivered? Are you sure alcoholics are going to be set free? Are you sure everything's going to be all right? He starts, that second voice comes in. Do you really believe that that's what's going to happen? And we start to reason in our minds. So I'm telling you, and that's why I put that first verse up there. A double-minded man is unstable. Don't listen to the second voice. Stand up on the authority of the Word of God and take what the Word of God says to be real and believe it. Say, I refuse to hear any doubt. I refuse to hear any doubt. Amen?
They heard the voice of the Lord say in the cool of the day, the wind was blowing and the pneuma of God, if you will, the breath of God. And they couldn't wait to be with the Father. It was a connection to the divine. They loved each other. They heard His voice. And then this happens and Satan says, are you sure? And they eat of the fruit. And then he comes, in the cool of the day. And what happened? They hid themselves. And they said, we heard your voice and we were afraid. Here's something you got to see. I want you to get this word. God said, who told you? They said, we hid ourselves. We were naked. We were afraid. And then God says, who told you you were naked? They were naked all along. Amen. Is that not true? But now God says, who told you that? Who told you that? When they listened to the second voice, confusion set in. The second voice brought confusion. They lost the power to put, don't miss what I'm going to tell you, folks, and I need your attention real close. I won't keep you long, I promise. But listen, they lost the power to control chaos and confusion and they lost the power to control and put chaos in order, if you will. And confusion set in. Amen. So what he was saying is, who told you this? And what I'm trying to tell you is God wants to do an awesome thing in your lives and in this area. I believe that, Sister Judy. And we need to listen to the voice of God and not listen to any other voice. Amen. You know, who told you these things? Who told you that you'd always be bound up in fear? Who told you that you would always not have enough money? Amen. Who told you that you'd always live in depression? Who told you you'd be sick all your life? Who told you these things? Who told you we'd never have revival? Who told you that everything's going to get worse? Who told you these things? Amen. You know, and even the people watching by television, who told you you'd never be delivered from drug addiction? Who told you you'd never be set free from alcoholism? Who told you you could never be blessed and prosper and have things? It's the voice of the enemy. It's a second voice that brings that down into people's lives. We need to listen to the voice of the Lord because His voice says that you're healed. His voice says you're delivered. His voice says you've been set free. His voice says, I'm about to take off now. His voice says you are more than a conqueror through Him that loves you. His voice says, by His stripes, you are healed. His voice says, you're going to be blessed and prosper even as your soul prospers. His voice says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. You're going to see visions and dreams. I'm going to pour it out. Get ready. That's His voice. Whose report have you believed? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to believe what this book right here says. I'm not going to listen to any doubts. I'm not going to listen to any unbelief, but I'm going to stand on this word. I still believe that David throwed that rock and the giant came down. I still believe the three Hebrew boys went through the fiery furnace. I still believe that they brought people to Paul and just the very sight and the handkerchiefs that people were healed. I still believe. I don't care what the world says. You know, listen, usually you got to hear me now. I'm going to try to bring this message to a close. I don't care what the world says. Usually when the enemy speaks in that second voice, he don't show up. He's speaking through somebody. He's speaking through some political leader. He's speaking through some false prophet. He's speaking through some false minister on television. Oh, y'all got to hear me. Who told you? Galatians 5:7 says, you were running well, but who hindered you? Not what hindered you. You know, we think that sometimes it's a thing. No, who hindered you? Who changed your way of thinking? Mm-mm-mm. I know what I've heard in my spirit. I know what the Lord has shown. You know, I had another dream last night. I'll share when it's appropriate, I'll share it with you. I'll share it when I come down the road. And I knew when I laid down last night I was going to have a dream. The Lord was going to give me a dream. I knew that. I was excited. I couldn't wait to go to sleep. I went to sleep and Wanda's cell phone rang. 30 minutes later, it was 11:40 or something. Somebody with the wrong number. I'm like, they need to leave me alone. I need to sleep, but God's going to give me a dream.
When you lose the ability to hear God's voice, you're in trouble. You start listening to the second voice, and confusion sets in. Because when the only voice you're listening to is God, you're walking in faith. But when you start listening to the second voice, confusion sets in. Then you start trying to reason things out. Well, how's this going to happen? How's that going to happen? Amen? And that's why I put that verse up there. Every wind of doctrine. You know, some people listen to some, I'm just going to preach the truth. Amen? Some people listen to some preachers and they've told you things that lead you astray. Scripture says there'll be false prophets. The enemy uses voices to make you doubt what God is saying. You know, you can't, I've told you before, I've read commentaries that says there is no healing today. There are no apostles and prophets for today. That's all been fulfilled. Those are that second voice, Dwayne, is speaking through people, you know, and concerning healing and deliverance. And even the coming of Christ, if you weren't careful, you'll listen to that voice and they'll tell you Jesus is not even coming back. It's been all these years. People look at you and say, well, I've heard that all my life. You know, but you know, the writer said, Ernie said this, you know, in the last days there are going to be scoffers coming saying, where is the promise of his coming? I've heard it since our forefathers fell asleep. And Peter went on and said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat, and they're going to pass away. But we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth. Amen. I'm telling you, he's going to show up, and he's going to bring the kingdom down. You know, that fulfilling of the kingdom that we're in right now is going to be completely fulfilled. Oh, hallelujah. Daniel, come on up, man. Help me. I'm about ready to close. When you lose your hearing and start listening to two voices, you become double-minded. And a double-minded has no stability. It's unstable. I'm telling you. And you know, listen to me. Oftentimes we read these verses and we think about people that are lost. This sits in the pew. This way of thinking sits in the pew. And it's a hindrance to revival. Amen? It plants doubt, raises questions and plants doubt. Amen? I know in who I believe, and I am persuaded, I will not have a double mind. You should write that down. You should get up and quote that every day. I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded, I will not have a double mind. I will not be double minded. That's what God says. Let's go with it. Amen. So, in closing here, the enemy said, are you sure? And that's what he always says. You know, he tempted Christ. He said, is it not written? You know, are you sure this thing will work? And he twisted, Ernie. If you'll notice, it's never quoted just like the way the original scripture was. When he entertained that voice, double-minded came in. Double-minded came before sin. You ever thought about that? When they listened to the voice of the enemy, and I started thinking about it, that was before sin. Amen? It came before sin. So you got to see that, you know, and that's why we have so many politically correct people questioning what and contradicting what thus says the word of the Lord. Try to make you doubt. Amen. Elijah said, why halt you between two opinions? If God be God. Amen. Now, in closing, I'm going to give you a word here that you need, something you need to take with you. Watch who you connect with. Don't link up with people with negative mindsets. Don't link up with double-minded people. I'm not saying shun them and be nice to them. Don't hook up with them. Don't link up with them. You know, what they'll do, they'll sit at your table and the enemy's too. Amen. They're not going to link up with your vision. And they're not going to defend your vision. They're going to bring doubt and unbelief in your dreams and visions. Don't listen to the second voice. Ernie, I've had times before where I feel like I could go into hell with a squirt gun and just, I'd be coming to church and you know, in years past and somebody meet me at the door and I just feel like, man, I'm ready just to see God's glory be poured out and somebody meet me at the door and look at me and say something totally negative. And it just, if you listen to that before they ever get to play the first key on the piano, you'll just be crushed and you won't be able to even worship God and get into the presence of God, let alone minister to people in the Spirit of God. Amen. You can't listen to negative people. And if you know somebody's going to be negative, stay away from them. Don't hang out with them. I know that may be hard preaching, but that's just the truth. It will bring you down. They'll bring doubt and unbelief into your dreams and visions. God always encourages dreams and visions. Joseph had a dream and his brothers tried to discourage him, but God brought it to pass. His brothers said, "Are you better than us?" And I'm sure when he got into prison, that second voice came in and said, "Well, maybe your brothers were right." Or maybe when he was tempted in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife, you know, I'm sure that second voice, maybe, you know, just go ahead and give in. Amen. And it's look, you ain't made it there no way. Amen. But he refused to listen to a second voice, and God took him all the way to the palace, all the way to the throne. Amen. And then he was able in turn to go back and help those, Justin, that had been so critical in the beginning, his brothers. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a message there. Surround yourself with people that are positive. You know, I have to give honor where honor is due. You know, God is moving here, and we're so thankful, and he's just blessing in so many ways. But you know, there's times I come up those steps on Sunday morning, and there wouldn't be anybody here. The worship team be up here practicing, and there'd be nobody here. You know, and you know, maybe the spouses, for the most part, the moms and dads, you know, of the worship team members. And you know, and I'd come into this altar and I'd say, "Lord, you know, I'll move on." You know, because I felt God really want to do something here in this area. And I said, you know, I don't have to be here. I'll move on. And sitting right there, Joyce Owens. And I appreciate you so much, because I'm telling you, time after time, listen to me. Time after time, I would leave the service and be standing on that porch, and Joyce Owens would come up to me and say, "Pastor, be encouraged. Don't lose the vision. It's going to happen. And people are going to come, and lives are going to be changed." She would tell me that repeatedly. And I stood on that, and just somebody coming along beside you and saying, "God's going to do it. I see your vision. I've caught your vision." That means everything. Amen. You know, and that's the kind of people that you need to hang out with. That's going to say, "Hey, God," because that gives you greater faith. Amen. Don't be around negative people. I believe. And she's told me that repeatedly. Amen. Which voice are you listening to? Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Come on up and sing something. If you have to go this morning, we understand completely. You know, understand completely. But before we go, let's have prayer. If somebody may need special prayer, if you want to come to the altar and pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I believe everybody here is a Christian. Amen. Will they sing something? Let's pray and just consummate the word this morning. I will believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Somebody say, "I'm more than a conqueror." Come on, say it again. Say, "I'm more than a conqueror." Say, "I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free by His power. I can cast all my care up on him because he cares for me. He's my master. He's my savior. He's my deliverer. He's my king. He's my best friend. He's my peace. He's my joy. Give him a hand of praise. Amen. Come on, sing unto the Lord.